Chapter 1. Myron Bolitar used a cardboard periscope to look over the suffocating throngs of ridiculously clad spectators. He tried to recall the last time he'd actually used a toy periscope, and an image of sending in proof of purchase seals from a box of Cap'n Crunch cereal flickered in front of him, like headache-inducing sunspots. Through the mirrored reflection, Myron watched a man dressed in knickers. Knickers, for crying out loud, stand over a tiny white sphere. The ridiculously clad spectators mumbled excitedly. Myron stifled a yawn. The knickered man crouched. The ridiculously clad spectators jostled and then settled into an eerie silence. Sheer stillness followed, as if even the trees and shrubs and well-coiffed blades of grass were holding their collective breath. Then the knickered man whacked the white sphere with a stick. The crowd began to murmur in the indistinguishable syllables of backstage banter. As the ball ascended, so did the volume of the murmurs. Words could be made out, then phrases. Lovely golf stroke. Super golf shot. Beautiful golf shot. Truly fine golf stroke. They always said golf stroke, like someone might mistake it for a swim stroke, or, as Myron was currently contemplating in this blazing heat, a sunstroke.
Mr. Bolitar?
Myron took the periscope away from his eyes. He was tempted to yell, "Up, periscope," but feared some at stately, snooty Marion Golf Club would view the act as immature, especially during the U.S. Open. He looked down at a ruddy-faced man of about 70.
"Your pants," Myron said.
"Pardon me?"
"You're afraid of getting hit by a golf cart, right?"
They were orange and yellow, in a hue slightly more luminous than a bursting supernova. To be fair, the man's clothing hardly stood out. Most in the crowd seemed to have woken up wondering what apparel they possessed that would clash with, say, the free world. Orange and green tints, found exclusively in several of your tackiest neon signs, adorned many. Yellow and some strange shades of purple were also quite big, usually together, like a color scheme rejected by a Midwest high school cheerleading squad. It was as if being surrounded by all this God-given natural beauty made one want to do all in his power to offset it. Or maybe there was something else at work here. Maybe the ugly clothes had a more functional origin. Maybe in the old days, when animals roamed free, golfers dressed this way to ward off dangerous wildlife. Good theory.
"I need to speak with you," the elderly man whispered. "It's urgent."
The rounded, jovial cheeks belied his pleading eyes. He suddenly gripped Myron's forearm.
"Please,"
he added.
"What's this about?" Myron asked.
The man made a movement with his neck, like his collar was on too tight.
"You're a sports agent, right?"
"Yes."
"You're here to find clients?"
Myron narrowed his eyes. "How do you know I'm not here to witness the enthralling spectacle of grown men taking a walk?" The old man did not smile, but then again, golfers were not known for their sense of humor. He craned his neck again and moved closer. His whisper was hoarse.
"Do you know the name Jack Cauldron?"
he asked.
"Sure," Myron said.
If the old man had asked the same question yesterday, Myron wouldn't have had a clue. He didn't follow golf that closely, or at all, and Jack Cauldron had been little more than a journeyman over the past 20 years or so. But Cauldron had been the surprise leader after the U.S. Open's first day, and now, with just a few holes remaining in the second round, Cauldron was up by a commanding 8 strokes.
"What about him?"
"And Linda Cauldron?"
the man asked.
"Do you know who she is?"
This one was easier. Linda Cauldron was Jack's wife, and far and away the top female golfer of the past decade.
"Yeah, I know who she is," Myron said.
The man leaned in closer and did the neck thing again. Seriously annoying, not to mention contagious. Myron found himself fighting off the desire to mimic the movement.
"They're in deep trouble," the old man whispered. "If you help them, you'll have 2 new clients.
"What sort of trouble?"
The old man looked around.
"Please," he said. "There are too many people. Come with me."
Myron shrugged. No reason not to go. The old man was the only lead he'd unearthed since his friend and business associate, Windsor Horn Lockwood III, Win for short, had dragged his sorry butt down here. Being that the U.S. Open was at Marion, home course of the Lockwood family for something like 1 billion years, Win had felt it would be a great opportunity.